Beanstalk?
Here.
Christensen? Dinar?
Present.
Goodman?
Present, virtually.
Moffitt?
Here.
Morrow?
Here.
Absent is Berg, Elgindy, Pinna, and Seaman.
Thank you, Sherry, and thank you, everyone, for, you know, being available for this last-minute meeting. Ryan, I'll turn it over to you for agenda item 2.
Okay. Can you hear me okay? Sorry, I just logged in like 2 seconds ago. I was on the phone trying to get out. So agenda item 2 is legislation. So the board has kind of gone through a lot of this stuff and is aware of most of this stuff as we've traveled the course of the last year or so, and some of it even beyond that. And so a couple of things, and the board actually chose not to have anything until after the election. And I've double checked because generally state agencies need to file something with Ledge Council. They don't want to be surprised by state agencies who know the pathway a little better than others. And so they want it by November 1st. We are not going to be hampered with that. I've double checked to make certain. So really this is just to get your final approval on what the board has discussed in previous meetings in kind of more of a formal way with an actual document in front of you. And that's the draft that's in front of you, that we sent. So the first one is, a repeal. Well, let me cover the first one last because that's the one that's going to have the only pushback, I think, but I have a comment regarding the pushback. So one of them is, so letter B, 2B, is in regard to the Anesthesia and Sedation Committee's recommendation to send, I think we just lost our quorum, hang on.
Hi guys, sorry, this is Moffitt. I just got booted out, I'm calling in.
Okay, so we didn't lose it. Thank you, sorry. I didn't want to shame us to jump on and say, meeting violation. So the Anesthesia and Sedation Committee, this was back when Mr. Goodman chaired that committee. They recommended that AED should be in all dental practices, whether owned by a dentist, a denturist, or just a business entity that is not owned by a dentist. We had trouble with legislation in the last session. In fact, Christina and Yasmin and I were on the phone for like an hour and a half with a lawmaker, which Kevin will tell you. That's unheard of. Generally, they give you 30 minutes max. We were on a virtual call like this for 90 minutes, and the big beef was it was a mandate. And we gleaned from the conversation that this was when there was trouble across the country with mandates, the inoculation and stuff like that. So the vaccine for COVID. And so it just seemed to us that she just didn't want anything to be mandated. So I think if this is still what the board wants to do, I think this would be another opportunity to give it a go. It never got heard in any committee. So that's one thing. And Seamus, I don't know how you want to do this. Do you want them to vote on each one separately, or should I give like an overview or a summary of all of them and then they vote on them all? Or what do you think is best?
Ryan, Christian, present. Can you hear me, Ryan?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think it matters. If you want to discuss them all now and then take a block vote. With any amendments, or if you want to do them one at a time, it's up to you.
Okay.
So this is Dinar, just because Ryan mentioned there might be some additional discussion that might occur on item 2A. Let's just go with making 4 separate motions. I would make a motion to direct staff to seek legislative changes as mentioned in agenda item 2B.
Hero will second. We have a motion and a second. Any more discussion? Let's do a roll call, Sherry.
I'm here. Sorry. I was reading something. We have Hero.
Yes.
Beanstalk.
Yes.
Dinar.
Yes.
Goodman.
Yes. Goodman, yes.
Moffitt.
Yes.
And Morrow.
Yes.
Dr. Christensen, are you on?
Christensen, yes.
Great, thank you. Motion passes, none opposed.
Okay, cool. And I also at the beginning for coming and doing this last minute. I know that you guys are busy with your own jobs plus everything else around this holiday time as well. Kevin Earle is also here. I ran all of this by the over the course of a year, actually, but never in print. So just recently I gave it to the Dental Association. So they may want to chime in here in a minute. I also met with Jesse Arment, who represents DSOs, and she represents the Hygiene Association. I don't think she's on, but I saw Deb Kappas pop in. So I don't think they're going to have any comment, really, until we get back to A. So let me cover C and D, and then we'll come back to A. So letter C is the repeal of registering to dispense drugs and devices. This is an issue right now. This one drives me crazy. All we're doing is really just trying to repeal subsection B, I think, of this statute that talks about a registration. And then there is registration processing by rule. There is an application, and this is something that Christine and I tackled at another health board. If you're a dentist, you should have dispensing rights just because you're a dentist. To file a separate application within the same licensing board that you hold a license, I think is just a little bit silly. It also puts added work on staff. In addition, there's no cost. There's no fees. There's no fee being collected. It just becomes a burdensome issue for everybody, including the licensee. I don't understand why this exists. And if you look at the way the current law is written, there's nothing in Section A that says that there should be a registration process. The first time they mention it is in B, and you get penalized if you don't register. Without adding too much conversation to this, I'm happy to answer questions, but I think this is just something that needs to be repealed, and I'm open to listening to questions.
This is Dinar. Just as a matter of curiosity, if nothing else, how many dentists have this registration right now?
You know what? That's a great question. And Susie's not on. She's the one that generally does this. Sherry, do you have any idea what that number may look like?
I do not know, but I can certainly find out.
Edmund, you want to ask your question while Sherry's looking that up?
Yeah, because my question is, do we, I'm sorry, Dr. Hero.
No, please go ahead.
I had a follow-up question with that. So let's say, the number is not zero. There's one dentist somewhere that has this registration. So what do we do with that existing registration? Do we just let it lapse? There's no renewal. I just want to know what happens.
Yeah, so right now the registration is attached to the individual renewal, and we just ask questions regarding whether or not they want to continue that dispensing registration. It's kind of it's just a hokey process because there's a ton in statute and rule regarding what dentists can and can't do regarding dispensing drugs and devices from their office. So if there's ever a complaint that comes before the board in that regard, the board can adjudicate that complaint simply because there is a possible violation. Other than that, and that's with everything under the dental statutes and rules, that you can review everything. So I would tell you that there are likely dentists that are, I'm going to say, unaware. It's not that they should be unaware, but I bet you they're several that are dispensing drugs and devices out of their office without registering simply because they don't think that they need it. Most people claim to have read all of these when they sign their license application when they initially get licensed. but it's kind of like taking the driver's test. It's rare that you probably know everything about all driving laws in the state in which you obtain a license, even though you sign that attesting, and then they test on some of that, but there's no way they can create a test for everything. So it's just one of those things that's kind of a burdensome thing, I think, and it's hard to even keep up with, and it's fruitful. There's no money being received from it.
Yeah, thank you for that. I mean, in my mind, this is a good fix, and I don't think we are going to get a lot of pushback. At least I'm not thinking of a situation where we could get a pushback, because the dentist license already gives you the dispensing authority. So deleting this portion doesn't make any difference to existing practice.
Yeah.
And Sherry, you want to answer that question, and then I'll go to Mr. Goodman.
Susie says approximately 25 to 30. She doesn't know exactly.
Thank you. Mr. Goodman.
Sure. Peers, how do our peer groups do it? The other licensing boards that license individuals that have DEA licenses, physicians, advanced nurse practitioners, things of that nature.
So I think this is one of those things that happened through sort of legislation where it was in one health board and then it trickled to several health boards over a course of time. Christina and I went before the legislature, 15 or 16 at podiatry. I had started the legislation with the podiatry board and then I left and she finished. She carried the torch the rest of the way. We met with then sitting Representative Carter and she was like, is this happening at other boards? We said, yes. She was going to look at other boards and try to repeal on all the boards because she thinks that just because you hold a license, if you hold a license, as whatever the profession, EA controls the rest of everything else on prescription writing and everything. So you can't even get the EA registration. So to add in another registration process within at a state level to monitor something that the EA monitors is just, I don't know, I just think it's silly. And this board shouldn't get too involved in a different or an additional registration process or another document, we'll call it, when you still have the ability to regulate dentists dispensing drugs and devices out of their office. So to answer your question, there are other professions that do this. I haven't worked there yet, so I haven't had an opportunity to repeal it at each of those boards.
Okay, but you do have that personal experience of helping repeal it for podiatrists.
Yes, I have. Yep, and it's no longer in there. They still have dispensing and drugs and devices within their code, but there's no registration process because I think I've said enough on that. It just adds another layer of something that they're doing within their own dental board that they already hold a license. So... and theirs had a fee attached to it, where ours does not, or the dental boards does not.
Just for clarity, Doc, is this the dispensing for profit? Does the for profit fall under this one?
Yeah, sorry, okay. It's dispensing drugs and devices for profit. I just stated it. Yep.
Then would any board member like to make a motion?
This is Dinah. I'll make a motion to direct staff to seek statutory changes as stated in agenda item 2C.
Beanstalk seconds.
Motion and a second. Sherry, can we get a roll call?
Yes. Hero?
Yes.
Beanstalk?
Yes.
Christensen?
Yes.
Dinar?
Yes.
Goodman?
No.
Moffitt?
Yes.
Morrow?
Yes.
Motion passes, one opposed.
Okay. So letter D is, this is something that's kind of bothered the board for a while. It's bothered me since I've been here. This is something Mary Williams brought up a couple times, that the board should look to change the statute in regard to moving matters directly to hearing, without the formality of going to a formal interview before it goes to a formal hearing. The reason why they have to go to a formal interview first is if you're seeking suspension or revocation, you have to do the formal interview before you go to a formal hearing. I guess that's just if you may change your mind or something like that. The medical board does not have that requirement. They can go directly to a formal hearing. This board has come up across several cases in which they were like, okay, this is revocation, and it's just a waste of time on everybody's part, quite frankly. The licensee probably knows they're headed toward revocation as well. But we have this one extra hurdle. And so this is an attempt in the draft language in front of you to allow the board the opportunity to have the option to also do the formal interview, but also to do the formal hearing in lieu of doing the formal interview first.
Any board discussion or motion? So I'm definitely in favor of this. I think it's been a stumbling block on several cases that we've had. So I will make a motion to direct staff to seek statutory changes as stated in letter D.
Dinah seconds.
Any discussion? Sherry, can we get a roll call?
Hero.
Yes.
Beanstalk.
Yes.
Christensen.
Yes.
Dinar.
Yes.
Goodman.
Yes.
Moffitt.
Yes.
Morrow.
Yes.
Motion passes, none opposed.
So I said this meeting was only going to be 30 minutes. We'll see on this last one. You may have some comment here. So the last one is actually the first one on the agenda. It's in regard to letter A. I'll be super brief, or try to be as brief as possible. So you'll recall back, I think it was in October, maybe September, there was a board meeting that you guys had. It's in my note on page 3 of your packet that talks about the motion regarding Dental Hygiene Committee and the Dental Audit Committee. Those exist by rule. The reason why they exist by rule is because of 32.1282B, and that exists for, I don't know, some reason back in 1996, this law passed, and basically it addresses a matter that the board will get assistance from dental hygienists. That's 1282B. 1213M is getting assistance from business entities, and 1295C is getting assistance from denturists. I will tell you that 1295C has been on the records since 1978. It's been a statute in your books since 1978, and there has never once been anybody that's come before this board to try to offer assistance regarding denturists in that regard. It also states that by rule, the board will seek this assistance, and nobody's offered what that assistance would look like by rule. And oddly, in 2022, some almost 45 years later, through an audit, in a sunset audit, it came up that that statute exists and there's no rule promulgated by the statute. It caught me off guard. I was a little shocked. And then that's when I researched that this law has been in existence since 1978. The one that actually has a rule is 1282B. That existed since 1996. I'm not sure exactly when the rule came into effect, but I think I explained in September the need to continue to have a hygiene committee that has struggled to get members, and really, and I'm not trying to be disparaging against the hygiene committee at all, because, and I know Deb Kappas is here and she's passionate about that committee, but it hasn't done much, and it hasn't done anything since 2019 for this board. And so repealing that 1295C, 1282B removes the need to have input. And then 1213M has been part of the board statutes since 2008. So that's, I don't know how many years, my math is terrible, but nothing's been done by rule since that came into existence in 2008. And so this is the thing that I think that drives people crazy, like the Institute for Justice, Goldwater Institute, just other people that find it frustrating that laws exist and nothing has been done with those laws. This is one of those issues where I think that you have three statutes that don't do anything to move the board forward or to protect the public. In addition, the board makeup includes two hygienists and a business entity member. It doesn't include a denturist, but I will tell you that there's only 10 licensed denturists in the entire state of Arizona. So, and we have one of those that helps the board on a regular basis in compliance. So if there was a need to listen to those communities, I think that the hygienist on your board, the business entity member on your board, or at any point, anybody from those communities want to address the board would be happy to listen to their question and seek assistance where needed. I don't think you need statutes to create rules to have a committee for an understaffed, under-resourced, under-supported staff to have meetings just to have meetings. And so I think they should be repealed. The pushback will likely come when we seek this across the street. But I think the arguments are there. But you've had one since 1978 and nothing's been done. So I just, and I'll shut up and let Mr. Goodman.
Go ahead, Mr. Goodman.
This is Goodman. Having certain committees, then I have fingers and toes, I believe, or somewhere close. It sure seems like if there's a need for a committee, one can be formed, and it doesn't have to be in law, right?
Now, you guys have that jurisdiction. You can, and you've done it. Heather, that used to be like her go-to motion. If she didn't want a meeting to go too long, she created a committee. So you guys have the ability to create committees. You wouldn't want a long-lasting committee unless you could get it formalized in statute, which you just did on the investigation committee. But like the anesthesia sedation committees met longer than most committees temporarily would. But I think they know what their role is, and when they're complete, that committee will go away as well. So you have the ability to establish a committee and get advice from those committees. So does that answer your question?
Yes.
I have a quick question. This is Moffitt. So I guess I was a little bit confused on this because I didn't really know, I guess, yeah, because it's been so long since it's been done. Like, what does it even mean to have, like, to get advice from, for example, like dental hygienists? Like, can this even exist when we don't have the dental hygiene committee anymore?
Yeah, it's a good question. I actually don't know why these were established in statute, because it's the entire dental profession is licensed and regulated by this board. So to add in layers within the statute that says you get advice and assistance from subsections of the community, the dental community, I think becomes an arbitrary process, because there's nothing in the dental part of the code that says that they should get advice and assistance from dentists. There's nothing in the dental assistance that says that there should be rules to get advice and assistance from dental assistants. So we carved out three different ones, business entities in 2008, denturists in 1978, and hygienists in 1996, none of which have amounted to much except for the hygienists, and they created a committee that then was established by rule. I think that you just had the Hygiene Association is much more active than probably in this state than most states, but they're also much more active than a lot of other just private associations. And so when they had the opportunity, because of the statute being what it was, to get advice and assistance, and it says the board shall establish it by rule, the Hygienist Association, and Deb Kappas is here and could probably add to what I'm stating, they probably huddled together and came up with an idea to do this committee, and that's how it happened. But I will tell you that the only time that that committee met since I've been here in 2019, and they didn't meet in 2020 because of COVID and partially because of that same reason in 21. So 22, I just said, let's not do it and talk to the board about maybe removing the committee out of rule. But I don't want to remove it out of rule, which you guys voted to do in September, until you get rid of the statute. So we'll do the notice of proposed rulemaking once the statute's gone. But I wanted to get your idea of how important it was to keep these that committee and the dental audit committee, which to Mr. Goodman's point, is not established in rule or statute. But there was a dental audit committee created simply because there was a hygiene committee and the dentist wanted a dental audit committee as well.
Okay.
And maybe point of clarification could be, look what was happening in 1978. It was just a bunch of guys doing dentistry. And it blocked out all other professions. They thought they were amazing, and not to say that we weren't, but I think we've become a lot more progressive as a culture and a profession that it's just assumed that we're going to be equal and we're going to all be together. So it could have been just a day in state of history in 1978. I was one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, obviously this board has shown that we believe it's important for everyone, all professionals and the public to have a format and a voice to be heard and a platform to have that voice be heard. But this to me just sounds like housekeeping. We got to clean up because I don't think we're eliminating the ability for these voices to be heard. We're just doing some overdue spring cleaning.
Yeah, that's kind of what it seems like to me. Okay, cool. Thank you for the clarification.
So with that, I'll make a motion that we direct staff to seek statutory changes as stated in letter A.
Diana seconds. But I think Mr. Goodman had his hand up.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Goodman. I thought that was left over. We're in discussion, so go ahead, Mr. Goodman.
It was left over.
Okay. Mr. Earl.
Sorry, I was muted because my landscaper was cutting my grass out front here. I just wanted to shed some light on the because I was part of the drafting of the business entity law, and there was quite insistence upon the regulated the business entities in those negotiations that they had this committee, but it was never implemented. I should make you aware that Jesse Arment, who represents the American Dental DSO Association, is adamantly opposed to removing this requirement. We've had some side discussions between the Dental Association and the ADSO about some other legislative things that we're working on. I don't mean this is any disparaging to your current business entity member, but she doesn't work for a business entity. And I think it's incumbent upon the governor's office to appoint someone who actually is an employee or an owner of a registered business entity to make certain that they have that seat at the table and they're appropriately represented. As I recall, there were periods of time where applicants for hygiene licenses had anesthesia training that didn't meet the exact requirements of the statute, and oftentimes the Dental Hygiene Committee would opine as to whether or not the applicants were qualified. And there were dental hygiene programs that may have been questionable. I do remember them having a rather full agenda for a period of time. And the only other person that's on the call here who might remember would be Sherry. But I know the Hygiene Committee did have some role to play in the past.
Yeah, historically, which Ryan loves that word, by the way, that they, at one point in time, all local anesthesia nitrous oxide courses had to come in front of the committee to see if they met the correct number of injections, the number of hours in the course, but that no longer is the case. That is no longer what is required any longer by rule. So they no longer do that. They also would have like C extensions that would come before them. They would say, yes, we recommend this. And then the board would be the one that would make the final decision on a CE extension. We haven't, and then for CE audits, if somebody, they were going to be audited, they would review their documentation to see if they were, they have met their CE requirements. Being with our new system coming with Cynthia, we're going to be able to do 100% audit with board staff ourselves.
Thank you, Sherry. So I think we're just hearing more information to support the motion that's on the table. So Sherry, why don't you give us a roll call?
Hero?
Yes.
Beanstalk?
Yes.
Christensen?
Yes.
Dinar?
Yes.
Goodman?
Yes.
Moffitt?
Yes.
Morrow?
Yes. Motion passes, none opposed. We can move to agenda item 3, discussion regarding future meetings and possible action items for future meeting agendas. Then, if there's no more comments, we can adjourn this meeting. So thank you again, everybody. Happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and we will see you all next year.
Have a good day.